How's it
Hey.
going? Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Yeah,
How's
how's
it
it going,
going?
Marno?
Yeah, good. You?
Good. Oh, your room looks amazing.
Oh, thank you very much.
I need to get. What's that on the wall there on the left?
Here.
Yeah.
They are like acoustic panels.
Oh.
This is like my home recording studio, so it's got a lot of panels everywhere. Most of them you can't see because it's black, but
I should
yeah.
get some of them for my kids' rooms so I can't hear them.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Can I ask a quick non-music related question off the bat?
Yeah, go for
Because
it.
I was just watching a bit of his stand-up then. Are you a Ricky Gervais fan coming from that area?
Oh, coming from Reading, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always used to like watch The Office. Yeah, if that's what you mean.
Oh,
That just
so.
that comes out fluently.
Just part of the normal dialect. Good. So office jokes are on the table. Tick.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. But no, thanks for joining us on a Thursday evening so late.
It's
How
all right.
have you been since the album's come out?
Yeah, good. Yeah, the re reaction's been insane. Like, really, really happy with it. Excuse me. Got my phone's dinging left, right, and center. Just people telling me what a good job I'm doing with the album. Yeah. No. In all seriousness, yeah, it's been good. Yeah.
To do office quotes now. Sorry, coming back to it. So yeah, but it must be nice to finally get it out, like your own body of work after the long stint with Architects, and now have your own thing out there. Like, I'll
Yeah.
be honest, Josh. Like, I'm not as au fait as your work as Venny would be. But
Right.
I've really loved the new album. Like, for
Thank
me,
you.
it's a proper metal album
Yeah.
that just fills me with joy when I listen to it. So it must be great to have it out in the world now.
Yeah. I mean, we finished it back in like October, November. That's like when we got like the finished master done. So I've been sat on it for a while, and we were writing it for quite a while before that. But yeah, I'm really happy to hear that's how you feel, because at the end of the day, like I'm a huge just fan of music, particularly metal. Like, I'd like to think that I've got quite a diverse musical upbringing and knowledge, and I like all sorts of stuff, but pretty much listen to metal like 90% of the time. Like, it's so rare that I'd listen to anything other than metal ever. Like, for me, like, I'll wake up and it's Testament, and I'll go to sleep with Hate Eternal blasting me to sleep. Like, I live and breathe it. But yeah, the record, like, I really wanted it to feel like a just a solid like classic metal record, that like every song like needed to get like a proper attention and just like streamline things a little bit, and just trying to go back to the roots of the band when we first started, when your kids getting into metal, because we started when we were super young, like when we were 12, and we didn't release any music for the first like 4 years because we were just kids. But this is like the closest we've come to sounding like when we started, if we had the skills in terms of playing their instruments properly or writing songs, because it's all about just trying to reconnect with that like feeling of when you first discover metal and you get like so pumped up or excited and you hear something like, the Great Southern Trendkill, and you just press play, like, oh, this is insane. Like, this is like, I want to flip this desk, like that sort of feeling. And I feel like as we got better at our instruments and the finesse of like songwriting, and like, oh, we could do this here. As we went on, and I'm still proud of everything we've done, I feel like we sort of lost touch with that initial primal, like, I just like electrifying feeling you get from metal. And that's what I really wanted to like inject into this record. And I think that's what people want from metal. So I guess that's maybe what you sort of picked up on, I'd like to think.
Yeah, I have to. Venny had a little smirk then about when you said you go to bed listening to Hate Eternal, because Venny loves to go to bed listening to
Yeah.
black metal.
You're a
Oh,
man
yeah.
after my own heart. I just Yeah. I
every
mean,
night I
all
have to have something to as a
white noise,
gentle
isn't it?
lullaby to sleep.
Yeah, for me, like one of my I've got two bedtime records. One is King of All Kings by Head Eternal, and the other one is Black Seas of Vengeance by Nile. Because like
Oh,
all
jeez.
the atmospheric stuff coupled with the blast beats, it's a treat
It's
for the
it
brain
puts
at
you to
night.
sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was typically Crowbar for many years. That would be
Oh,
my
okay.
bedtime listening.
Interesting.
But yeah, a bit slower and a bit of that southern drawl. But yeah,
What's your favorite Crowbar record?
I'm still just back into the old stuff. So like Oddfellows Rest and that kind of thing. So yeah, that was my era of listening to them.
I got into them on Sonic Excess, is that the one? With
Yes,
like
it is
Lasting
pure
Dose on it.
spring.
And that like Lasting Dose, when I heard that, I was like, this is, because it's so like melancholic, and that's something that's always been present in the music that I write, but also like super heavy and like
Yeah.
doomy. Yeah, I love it.
I mean, call me old-fashioned. I just like to have a nice book to go to bed with, but each to their own.
Josh, can I pick up on the latest record and what you were saying there about reconnecting to when you were younger and getting into metal? And it has struck me over the years with Psilosis that you tread a very fine balance between an older style of traditional metal, but also much more contemporary. And to me, certainly the last two records have sounded very contemporary. So but you still have those flavors of the more traditional metal, like the solos and everything else. How do you tread that line, and what's your approach to that?
I think so. For the most part, like a lot of that stuff is just like in my musical DNA, like the more like old school stuff, like Injustice for All and Arise by Sepultura and like Symbolic by Death. All that stuff's like just what I grew up like obsessing over. But at the same time, when I was a kid, I would listen to anything like stuff like that. But I'd also listen to like Hatebreed and just like more meatheady type of stuff, or like bands like Terror. Like I just like stuff that's heavy and gives me a good time. But I think something that people kind of don't necessarily pick up on is just like there's a lot more Pantera influence on this record, which were like a big huge band for all of us growing up. And I think if a band came out today and went, everyone's like, that's metalcore, that's a breakdown. It's like, well, so previously I was like strict on, we can't have anything that sounds like a breakdown because we don't want to be lumped in with all this metalcore stuff. Because when I grew up getting into metal and like found it, like your friendship groups and stuff, I loved all the extreme metal stuff, like in the early 2000s, like Decapitated, Head Eternal, Nile, all that stuff. And the people who are into that music are like, yeah, you can't like new
Yeah,
metal or whatever else. Or
absolutely.
like, but I like Deftones and stuff as well. And I loved Slipknot, because Slipknot were the band that got me listening to death metal, because Mick Thompson would go on about like Blessed Are the Sick by Morbid Angel. So I'm like, right, I'm gonna get that, go buy that record and stuff. But so coming from that era, like I had that sort of elitist mentality, or at least like I liked all sorts of music, but I was like, well, all this metalcore stuff's popular now in like the mid 2000s, and we need to just do our own thing. So we're going to tune our guitars to standard E, not going to play anything that sounds like a breakdown. And it kind of worked in terms of setting us off on our own path and like doing our own thing and getting our own audience. But with time, like I set up all these really restrictive rules of what Silosis could and couldn't do. And I love just like heavy, chuggy riffs as much as anyone else. So like I was always wary if anything sounded like a breakdown. I was like, oh, we're gonna get crucified for this, or people are gonna call us metalcore, and we're not, because I don't listen to that stuff. And now I just don't care.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. Like if anything sounds like that, or if people want to call us that, I just don't mind. Like it is what it is. We also went through a period of sort of wanting our records to sound like really raw and earthy. So as time went on, we were like I was listening more to stuff like Mastodon or Black Breath or stuff that just sounded a bit more like rough around the edges compared to a lot of like the ultra polished metal mixes. So that's part of it, why the last two records sound a bit more modern, because I just realized that part of us doing that was almost like a knee-jerk reaction. But I also got into doing, I got the confidence to mix those records myself and just ended up getting like falling back in love with like the sound of metal records that I loved when I was a kid, like all the Andy Sneap stuff and Colin Richardson. So just like obsessing over like super metal guitar tones and stuff like that. But I can't remember where this question started. I've been rambling a lot
Keep going. This is I'm enjoying this. Keep
there.
going.
I think that
That's
I
the
think I've
end
sort
of
of lost
it.
my
That's
trail
the end
there.
of the answer. I guess a natural kind of follow on to that then is obviously you've had your stint in the Architects and they're a huge band. Is there anything either musically or even just non-musically about the way that kind of band of that size operates and everything else that you have learned and do or maybe don't want to bring back into your own work?
I think something that I've seen as well, like people think that there's like an Architects influence on the new record, and I've sort of got to remind people that I don't think it sounds like Architects before I joined, and I was writing those last three records. So if there's a similarity, I didn't write all of the music, but if like all the riffs and stuff. So if you hear a riff that sounds similar, it's like that's just me. That's just how I write. Like it, stuff just comes out like that. But yeah, I definitely learned a lot. And sort of like, you know, what's enjoyable live and what goes down well live. But the most important thing I learned was to be more collaborative. Because when I first joined the band, like the first few demos I gave to Dan, the band's drummer, who was sort of he kind of like produced my work and sort of filter it and make sure it fit, you know, fit with where the band was at or where the band was going. And I remember him like taking this riff, putting that there and cutting that bit out and moving this around. And like I was like, I spent ages on this song. Like this is I had a vision for what I wanted this to be, and this is like really jarring and hard to get used to. Which I think is a common feeling for any artist or musician, like when you have something you've worked on just to hand it back to you completely different. But it was like really good. It was like super important for me, for my learning and growth as a person as well as musician, to seek out or accept external criticism more, or just input, or just, you know, not believing that I have the definitive perfect vision for something. It can maybe be better. I mean, there'd be certain times where I'd disagree and maybe still disagree on like what I think might have been better with something, but on the whole, like it was really good or beneficial for me to have that. So for this record, we work with Scott Adkins, who we have worked with on records before, and he's maybe been credited as producing, but this is the first one he's really we've like really like got him involved. We gave him the songs like 6 months in advance. We're like just like be brutally honest with us with the arrangements and stuff, if anything could be better, like what's weak. And there's a few examples of songs where like if we put out the demo, then just, like the demo version of the arrangement, it wouldn't be the same. Like Pariahs and Poison for the Lost in particular, like he used to play in the band Stamping Ground,
Oh yeah.
who
Oh, what a band. Legend. Officer Dan, legend.
I love that band. So he's got a musical background, but the thing that he always says, and when he's producing, is like he's just got all his mates that he still goes to gigs with. He just texted me the other day saying he went to see Obituary, and he's just like he just puts his mind in their minds. He's like, I'm not a musician, just a fan of metal, and I'm going to a gig. Like, what do I want to see? What am I going to connect with? And he was just like, where's the bit in the song that people are going to shout back to you? Like, where's like the chorus that they've heard the first time, and then the next time it comes in, they're going to sing it with you and all this stuff. And nothing from like a radio rock necessarily viewpoint on like singles or catchiness, but like said it earlier, but like Great Southern Trenker was like the first time you hear it, when it comes back in, you're like, oh, I know what the words are. So like, you want to get like, so that sort of stuff. So like he sort of really helped like build up the whole like mid late section of Pariahs. He sort of like had a whole vision. He was like, oh, you get a kick drum going, and then you've got the blinders on stage like Pariahs, and you've got like the crowd chanting it. I was like, oh yeah, this is all like textbook songwriting stuff that I think I'd always been wary of doing anything too obvious with Silosis, to the detriment of Silosis. And I love all that stuff. Like all the records I grew up listening to, no matter how like super heavy they are, like Iowa by Slipknot, like People Equal Shit, still like catchy and like anthemic, despite the fact that it's like super heavy and full of blast beats. So I was sort of just like ignorant to, or just wary of allowing Silosis to do anything that felt that obvious, but I love it. It's not like we're doing it just to appeal to certain people. It's just that I was maybe didn't have the confidence to pull it off before.
And would you have always been like this, Josh? Like, or would you say you've matured like earlier albums if someone said, like, this process you did for the new album, and you said, someone said, no, that's crap, change it, we need this, this, this. Would you have been more offended back then, whereas now you're more open? Or have you always had that open-mindedness to criticism?
Yeah, I think there was just a bit more of that, and I see it a lot with other younger bands, like that sort of youthful, like, no, I know what I'm doing sort of attitude. And I wouldn't necessarily change it or change those records, but I think getting some extra perspective, even if you just hold your ground and you just never change, but at least if you can be open to it or try some stuff out. And even if you end up going back to what how you envisioned the song in the first place, I think it's like really beneficial. But yeah, I'd say my time in Architects definitely helped with that, with me, yeah, just sort of like just learning to let go of the control of stuff, and not like micromanage everything.
And that brings me on to our next question quite nicely, about a con from a control point of view. And please don't take offense with this next bit, but like you said, you mixed the last album. Is that correct?
Yeah, the last two.
Last two, sorry. Why did you mix them yourself and not have someone else do it? Like that seems to me like a bit of a control freak type of thing, and that's why I said please don't be offended.
No, it's fine. That's exactly what happened. So Scott Adkins is a great producer and engineer and mixer, and he's worked with, like, he worked on Colin Richardson on Evangelion, like the Behemoth record. I can always say that
Nice.
one. And he's worked on one of my stuff. He's done all the most recent Cradle of Filth records and Vader. Like, he's amazing. He gets stuff like guitar tones that I love. And he was going to mix the record, and then at the last minute, I was like, oh, I just know what I want to do. Like, I know what I could just be over your shoulder, just going, can you do this? Can you change this? Can you change this? Or I could just do it myself. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's like going to be better, but I just know I had a vision of like what I wanted it to sound like. And even if I don't nail it 100%, like, I also want to preserve my friendship with Scott and not bug him and just like pester him or like piss him off, like, can you change this, and like just be over his shoulder the entire time. And I've also got to give credit to Ermin Hmidovic, who mastered the record, who like, I'd send him a mix and he'd be like, oh, you should change this or whatever, and he helped a lot with that. But yeah, I mean, there are certain things that, yeah, I did actually want someone else to mix the record and just be able to let go and just like work on something else or just start writing again. But I just, yeah, it just had to be right, or like right in my mind. So yeah, maybe that was a bit controlling, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't want to step on toes. I
No,
just
it's fine. Yeah.
thought. I've got a question, Josh. In terms of where Silosis are in 2023, I just an example for myself in that I probably wouldn't have classed myself a fan 10 years ago. I really was aware of the band, but wasn't really into them. But certainly on Cycle of Suffering is when I really got into you guys, and then went back and gave the first couple of albums a really good go, and now I love those albums.
Oh, thank you.
And I just probably in a very arrogant way assume there's a lot of people like me who also have done a walked a similar path. Do you have any sense of what how the fan base is now with Psilosis? Has there been that kind of gradual and organic accumulation over the years, even though it's not always been a 100% concern, if that makes sense?
Yeah, we're really fortunate to have like a very like cult-like following. Like the fans that are into us are like really into it, and we're really lucky that when the band went on hiatus, which was before I joined Architects, even though we hadn't announced it, that the hiatus didn't do anything to like dwindle our stand like our stance or like our position like in the metal world. Like we came back from the hiatus and were bigger than we ever were, just by not being there, which is not many bands can say that, but we're not by any means like a huge band, but the fans that are into us like are really like into it, I think. And in terms of what I think you're sort of alluding to as well, in terms of I also think that the metal world is just less bothered about the more like elitist views. I think everything's just sort of, like people are just aren't as fussed. 'Cause I, obviously when like deathcore came out and fans of, proper death metal were like, this isn't death metal. This is like, and they hated it. And because all that stuff just hasn't gone away and it's just been around, and like some of that deathcore has then even inspired like some death metal, or like the lines are just so blurred everywhere that I don't think people are quite as I just think people are more accepting in the metal world now in terms of different types of music.
Yeah, I mean, I
I'd like to
agree. I
think.
think, like, if you ask Joey and me when 20 years ago, when we were teenagers, we would have been very similar in what we did and didn't definitely did not like. And now
Yeah.
I agree. And you're seeing so many more mixed bills in terms of gigs and stuff like that. And I think it's great because there's a lot more cross-pollination, and the music as a result, I think, is becoming more interesting as a result of that.
Yeah, and I think yeah, people just can't necessarily hold on to the rigid, stances, and just like, I think people were like begrudgingly pretended they didn't like deathcore, probably, or like sometimes, just for example, like it's like sometimes you'll hear like a song or a riff or like a breakdown that is just like just undeniably fun and super heavy, and you can pretend like that's not proper death metal, but like, I hate it, but there's probably some part of your brain going, this is actually like super fun. I can't believe how heavy that is. I reckon, yeah, I don't know. It feels like there used to be a lot of stubbornness, but it's something that I was very used to seeing, because like I was into all that, proper metal, but at the same time, I liked other stuff as well. But I could see, both sides and like what. Like how each side view the other and stuff, and I was sort of like in between, because it for the most part my musical upbringing was like death metal. That was the first subgenre that I got into, and like obsessive, so like I could tell you who played on what album, what year it came out, all the Florida bands, like every lineup of Obituary, like when James Murphy was, like all that stuff. I was obsessed with, but at the same time I was into Slipknot and some new metal stuff, and like say Hatebreed or whatever. So yeah.
I'm getting the sense from you, Josh, that there's some real enthusiasm about Psilosis being back full time, and it's great to see. Like I can feel like the energy. Like, I know you've only just released your latest album like a week ago, but is Psilosis back now? This is your main thing, and
Yeah.
bigger, brighter things are going to happen in the next however many years. Like,
Yeah, that's 100% the plan. Yeah, just like focus on this 100% and just take it as far as we can and just keep going. But I have like high hopes, and I'm excited to see what we can do, and I'm confident on how this record has turned out and the response it's had, and we've got a great label and great management. So I want to shoot for being the biggest metal band on the planet. Having said
Right.
that, I love this music so much that I'm happy with playing to like 100 people. I don't care. Like, I don't care like how big the venue is or whatever. I mean, like, yeah, I grew up watching the Pantera home videos and like the venues they're playing, and I'd be like, oh, that, I want to do that.
Yeah.
But I just love heavy music. So it's just always like fun to me. I remember like the last tour we did, 2016, I think it was we took Decapitated out in the
Yeah, I
UK.
came for that show
And
in
I just remember
Glasgow.
thinking like, if this is as big as we get, cool, this is great. I want to get bigger, but I'm also happy here because I just love it.
What do you think is the glass ceiling for Silosis, Josh?
I
Not to put you
don't
on
want
the
to sound that. No,
spot.
I don't want to sound arrogant, like in terms of, but where I see Silosis is like, to me, there's a huge gap in the metal world, and I see Silosis at, more than anything, it's just like a metal band, you know. Yeah, like you can hear that there's like death metal stuff here and there. We get called melodic death metal all the time, which is weird because I don't have any influences from, like, I do like Slaughter of the Soul, it's amazing, but it's not really an influence on the band. But anyway, but for the most part, yeah, like Machine Head, Pantera, Lamb of God, that sort of like metal. That's where I see us going, and also that's the sort of world I see Silosis in, or
Yeah.
like genre wise. And even though those bands are still around and there's not a gap in the world there, in terms of newer bands coming up just playing metal, it's like there's not many. But I
No.
mean, it's cool. In the UK, you've got us, Bleed From Within, Malevolence, and Heriot. There are loads of bands, weirdly, like coming out of the UK, sort of more sort of filling that space, that sort of middle ground, I guess. But yeah, I don't see a glass ceiling. I mean, if I look at if a band like Lamb of God or Machine Head can get to where they are, then I don't see there being a glass ceiling for Silosis above that, because I see
And
us sort of
it's
existing
got to
in that
be
same world.
encouraging seeing these other UK bands also doing really well, like
Yeah, oh
Malevolence,
yeah, for
like your
sure. And
label
like,
mates, a really
yeah.
good example of that, how
Yeah,
amazingly
obviously
well
we're going
they've
out with
done.
Malevolence in November, and they're headlining because they've been smashing it and blowing up. Bleed From Within have been doing so well over the pandemic, and like genuinely I'm just stoked for both those bands because they work hard and I love them, like we're friends. And back in the day, I think they'd be more sort of like, oh, I want to be a bigger band. But I think, there's that saying like all ships rise with the tide, and like the more cool bands there are, the better. Also, I think it's like it's nice when you look over your shoulder and there's like someone else doing something like that, and it sort of inspires you, that sort of like more like healthy competition. Because back in the day, there was a band from Reading called The Atrophy, who were like really good friends. We like shared members. We were like super close with them. But there was always like a nice little, like you'd hear their album and you'd be like, oh, I want to write a riff better than them. And like in a really like healthy way. And I don't necessarily, yeah, think there's any competition between us, like in terms of the UK bands. But I think it's awesome that like they're doing well. And yeah, but yeah, it's kind of odd that there's not much like metal coming out of the US at the moment. There's like loads of great bands. Especially like there's really cool like death metal coming out. You've got Undeath and Blood Incantation and
200
all kinds of.
Stab
Yeah. Have they got a record coming out? Because the last single they put out was really fun.
I
But
saw something earlier saying that they've just got the masters back and it's crushing or something like that. So I assume it's going to be
okay,
soon.
because I think the last song I heard by them was like December last year, and I listened to it on a flight back from Mexico, and I was just like, I want more of this.
Yeah,
But
and
and it was, I think it was
two
a,
mold tomorrow are dropping a new
yeah,
album.
oh, cool. Yeah. So yeah, I'm definitely not like saying that the metal scene's no good or anything. Like the metal scene's great, there's tons coming out, but there isn't a lot in the that sort of middle lane, I guess you'd say. I
Yeah.
feel weird saying that, and I always like don't want it to sound like that's like boring or like, you know,
No.
metal, like just metal, you know. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, where I see Silosis existing mainly.
I've honestly, sorry, Benny.
I was just gonna, just on that point, it's fair to say that most metal fans, whatever they're into, death metal, black metal, in their heart of hearts, they will love Pantera and Machine Head and these other bands more than the rest. And if they had a few beers in the middle of a field, those songs are still mean more to them than a lot of these other more niche bands. So I yeah,
Yeah,
it sounds funny to say middle of the road or whatever, but I know exactly what you mean.
No, I agree with that. I think like, especially like that, a lot of that like 90s era stuff, like all those bands, like it's like so like catchy and like undeniably good.
Connects.
Yeah.
Can I just, Benny, my final question before I maybe take you up? Josh, you've mentioned Grace and the Trendkill maybe twice, three times in this. You mentioned Pantera a few times. All of the stuff that happened with, which we know about, which we're not going to touch on, have you seen Pantera on their recent re-lineup tour thing?
Yeah, I saw the first show back. So that the flight back from Mexico was a festival we Architects played, and it was the first Pantera tribute or reunion show.
And had you seen them previously as they were?
No, I hadn't.
Okay, so I'm the same as you. I saw them in Oslo, and I'm just interested to know what was your feeling seeing those songs live?
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, I obviously never got to see them, so it's just like, well, it's either this or not this.
Yeah.
There's and there's definitely no point from this point of view, like complaining about it. Like if you don't want to see it or if you don't think it's
Yeah.
Pantera or whatever, just don't go. Yeah, I mean you. I think there was probably a lot of nerves maybe from coming off the stage on all accounts, as you'd expect, because it's a big, like, I don't know, a big undertaking to revive that, especially without the brothers. And like, yeah, like it's one thing to rehearse, but it's another thing to do it on stage when you've got adrenaline and all that stuff. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it was.
You
I can't remember
please
what I'm saying.
don't
Yeah,
beat around the
no,
bushes, Josh.
it was for me. It was like, yeah, I was super happy. Like I never got to see those songs live, and Charlie sounded like he sounded just like Vinny, and it was yeah. And Phil was like definitely the best he sounded, I think, in years. I think vocally, I think he's like, I don't know what he's done, like, because I feel like he's, you know, been relatively clean in terms of, you know, drug abuse and stuff. I'm sure he has a beer here and there, but I don't know what he could have done to like just to sound a lot better all of a sudden, other than like get some vocal lessons or some help or some technique stuff. Because like, you watched like some footage from him like 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm sure he was, you know, living this maybe the same lifestyle. I don't think he was doing heroin 5 years ago. I think he kicked that years ago. So yeah, it's sort of like impressive to see him sound better. I guess, yeah, for me, like the whole racism thing soured it all for me back in like 2015, 16. And I guess I never got the feeling that that was made up for, maybe, like to the degree. I don't know. I mean, I'm not one to just like cancel people forever, but that was something that was like, as a fan, especially like in the UK, as I'm, maybe it's the same with you guys, like I didn't know what the Confederate flag was, like, as a kid.
Yeah.
I only learned what that was, what that meant, like when all that stuff came out.
Yeah.
So I was kind of naive to, my them being like my favorite band as a kid, like I was sort of like, oh shit, like this sucks, like when that happened. So that kind of like put a damper on Pantera for me personally. So that, but that's a whole side thing. But yeah, I mean, they were like my favorite band growing up. So yeah, getting to see as close as I'll ever get to a Pantera show, like, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, it was very sort of like bittersweet, like you said. Like, I mean, I saw him in Oslo about 5 PM, I think, and at a festival, it was absolutely packed, like to the rafters, and like 15 to 16 year old me, when they came out to A New Level and the set list they played was just like a dream come true, you know.
Did they play Suicide Note Part 2?
Yes, they did.
They didn't play it in Mexico. I was with Adam from Architects, and I said to him, if they play that song, I'm jumping over the barrier and I'm getting in the pit. Because we had this like little, we could, with our passes, we could get between where they'd separated the two sections of the crowd. And I was like, I'm literally going to lose my shit, but they didn't. So I just stayed there standing.
Yeah, no, I, because that's one of Venny's favorite songs of theirs, and he wasn't there at the time, so I had a lot of fun rubbing that in.
You did.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing that, like the big Pantera, like Kabuki in front of the stage, and when it drops, when A New Level kicked in. I mean, like, I've seen so many live videos of them from the 90s, of them doing that sort of thing, and like when you're actually seeing it, it was a big deal for me. Had you seen them before? Sorry, I don't kind of said that or not.
No, I had a ticket for Tattoo the Planet in,
on, oh, like, yeah, of course, 2001.
September the 12th or whatever it was, 2001. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not seeing them on this latest incarnation, but I'm fascinated to know what they're going to do in the UK when they eventually come, and what size room it'll be, and or what festival slot it'll be. I'm just fascinated to know what the reception will be. But yeah,
I'm sort of surprised they didn't do Download. I guess maybe they were doing something else and maybe they're busy at the time, but
we were saying like Bloodstock could be a perfect headline slot for them, you know, because it's not a massive festival.
And yeah, I mean, I think that the appetite for them could be massive. I just don't know what it'll be, but it'll be really interesting what they decide to do.
Yeah, or how long they can just keep doing it. I mean, I'm not suggesting they do a record, but how long can you just tour as a tribute band? I mean, if you're not doing anything new.
But doing a record.
No, I don't think it's like really gonna happen. I mean, I saw Charlie mentioned that he'd be up for it, or maybe had some ideas, but that might have just been wishful thinking on his part, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry, I've realized we've taken like 10 minutes there talking about Pantera when Josh, we're talking about your band. Like Benny, I've nothing else to add. So
yeah, we'll just say thank you very much to Josh for spending your time with us, and all the best for the album, and look forward to seeing you on the road and for the Malevolence gigs.
Yeah, nice one. Well, thank you guys for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Cheers, Josh. Enjoy the rest of your evening and best luck with the tour. See you, man.
Cheers, man.
See you guys.
Thanks.
Cheers. See you.